So many of us have an unhealthy relationship with food.
The dysfunction can range from hypervigilance to constant dieting to eating disorders.
Cassandra Baker, certified health, life, and mental health coach, explains how perfectionism and people-pleasing can be part of our problem with food.
Then she leads us to a new understanding about the way we eat.
Speaking from her own personal experience in recovery from two eating disorders, Cassandra leads us to freedom from diet culture.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Once again, we're talking with Cassandra Baker. Cassandra Baker knows what it's like to have a love-hate relationship with food and her body. It's her own personal experience in recovering from two eating disorders that drive her passion to encourage women to find freedom. She's a certified health, life, and mental health coach and a public speaker, helping women who are trapped in unhealthy habits such as perfectionism, disordered eating, legalism, and people-pleasing so that they can live free in Christ.
Do you feel exhausted from trying to be perfect?
Trapped in the diet cycle?
Tired of the unhealthy eating behaviors you can't stop no matter how hard you try?
Do you feel hatred toward your body?
Are you afraid to break the rules?
Controlled by what other people think of you?
Alone in your struggle with unhealthy habits?
Through her one-to-one signature coaching program, Cassandra helps women who are trapped in unhealthy habits such as perfectionism, disordered eating, legalism, and people-pleasing so they can break free from dysfunctional behaviors in order to live free.
Cassandra can help you uncover what's been stopping you, slowing you down, or keeping you from having a healthy relationship with food.
Develop a powerful vision for your life of freedom and what it will mean for you and those around you.
Discover which lifestyle habits are keeping you from freedom and how to get it with authenticity and grace.
And become crystal clear on a step-by-step plan to break free from dysfunctional behaviors.
Now, Cassandra has a special offer for our Grit and Grace friends.
And if you're listening right now, that's you.
So the first five Grit and Grace listeners who email her at info@cassandrabaker.com, that's K-A-S-S-A-N-D-R-A-B-A-K-E-R.com, will get a complimentary breaking free strategy session.
Cassandra, last week you gave us so much to think about regarding our attitudes towards our bodies and food. And this week we want to start with a super practical question. So many celebrations focus on food. Birthday parties are about cake and ice cream, and most holidays center around a huge meal. So tell us, what are some of the healthy strategies for surviving and even thriving in a situation where there's lots and lots of food?
Well, my short answer would be two words. It would be stop dieting. Because ultimately, dieting is what sets us up for being in that very situation where we feel out of control around food, where all we're thinking about is the food at the party, and we're actually missing the party, the people in it, and what's going on in the present moment. So I'll give kind of an example as far as like what it would look like for me before. I would either bring my food, right, because I was superior, because I was a clean eater, which I'm not recommending.
We won't talk about what the other people at the party thought, but anyway, right? Let's be honest.
So awkward. Anyways, yeah, like if I would be going, I just might not eat anything that was there too and just wait. The other thing would be if I would go, I would probably be having this internal battle of, oh, I really want to eat that. No, you're not allowed to eat that, right? And so it's this obsessive thinking and focus on the food. And the whole point of the party is not solely about the food. It's an aspect. But dieting forces us to say, this is good, this is bad, all or nothing. But intuitive eating, and when I incorporated that into my life, it changed parties forever for me. And basically, with intuitive eating, it means that all foods are permissible. So going into a party, I know that I have permission to eat all foods. I also know from the principles of intuitive eating that it's best to honor my body in the way it was created. So I know there are certain types of food that don't react as well to my body. And so I can go in and deciding whether I'm willing to deal with the consequences afterwards or not. But it's an intentional choice and I have permission to do it. And then when I go in, I'm not thinking about the food, what I can, I can't have, because I can enjoy it I can let certain things go. And I also don't have to overeat because I can have all this food whenever I want. And so when you take the restriction and deprivation away, that takes care of the binging. And, you know, I have a lot of clients who are like, oh, Cassandra, this will never work for me. Like, I get it. I was there. But I hear again and again when I work with clients, they'll come back because we'll prepare for a party or a certain holiday event that they're going to go to. And they'll come back and they'll be like, you're never going to believe this. I had half a piece of cake and I was satisfied and I didn't finish it. Like, that has never happened before. That is impossible. But yet time and time again, I see the positive results of intuitive eating and the freedom that it brings.
It sounds amazing. And it is, just as you said, it is so countercultural to everything that, you know, as Americans, we've absorbed about food.
Well, and I'm over here tearing up because I'm remembering after I got out of the eating disorder unit, you know, I wasn't completely cured or anything. I was still struggling, but I distinctly remember I worked at a law firm during the summers. And at the end of one summer, the HR director was very kind and she invited me out to lunch. And of course, I started to panic because that wasn't in my plan. But she was just a very gracious person. And I got to the end of the meal and then went back to work. And about 2 hours into the afternoon, it hit me. I hadn't thought about food or counted calories or, you know, felt how my stomach felt or any of the things. Like I had just enjoyed a good meal with her. And for me at that point, it was the first time in 5 years I hadn't obsessed about food. And it was mind blowing. So what you're describing is an immense transformation and just so much freedom for women who have been in bondage for such a long time. So as Amy said, this is so countercultural. What is the problem with our culture's approach to body image and beauty?
Well, the first one is diet culture, which we talked about in the last episode. And the second issue that I see is with what I call the beauty idol. And I define this as when we worship the current cultural definition of beauty above God, we go to unhealthy lengths, like an eating disorder, to fit the beauty standard. We're choosing not to do something. Oh, I'll wait till I lose that blank amount of weight before I go on that vacation. Finding your identity in how you look rather than who you are in Christ. And also thinking less of someone who doesn't meet the supposed cultural standard of beauty as well when we judge other people.
Ooh, that one hits home.
Well, and I have some friends that have talked about the shame that they feel about overweight in church settings. So that's good. Now, something you mentioned a few minutes ago is this idea of all or nothing thinking. And Sherry and I have talked about this a lot as reforming perfectionists. So we don't want to throw away at all the care for our bodies. So how do we care for our bodies without using society's standard of beauty?
Okay, so diet culture worldview says that our body is the most important thing in our society. It says that if you have this good body and you meet this standard, then you're superior, you're worthy, you're valuable, you're lovable. But the biblical worldview states that our bodies are important. We were bought at a price. We can't just go out and do whatever we want with our bodies. But I also believe what has happened is we've taken the diet culture worldview and we've incorporated it into what the biblical worldview says about body weight and size. And I believe that's where we come into a lot of issues. So remember last week when I talked about Psalms 104:25, there is a sea vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. So just the other week I was walking in the forest and I noticed like even these trees are drastically different sizes. They're not even all the same size. And then, of course, God created the elephant and the fly. So everywhere we look in creation, we see a God of uniqueness, of variety. So why then did I believe for so many years that there's this one very small mold that all women are supposed to fit into? It just doesn't line up with what I see in the Bible and what I see in creation. And so I think it's really exciting because now we have the freedom to be able to throw out this very narrow, small view of what a woman's body is supposed to look like. And with the principles of intuitive eating, we can start honoring our body, because I oftentimes believe we're not honoring our body when we're eating more than what we need or when we're not eating enough. And so it allows us to be able to honor our body while still at the same time not obsessing about it.
So, so good. Have you seen, Cassandra, I'm curious, on Facebook there or on social media, there's a someone who's made a video about what a perfect woman's body looked at like at different periods of time. Have you seen that?
I've seen something similar to that. Yeah, like the whole definition of what beauty actually is changes. So like 20 years from now, I might not meet the standard. So that's why our identity has to be in who we are in Christ and not in what the cultural beauty standards say.
Absolutely. Well, and I love that you brought out the fact that there is so much diversity in all of nature. And I've said many times now, if I could go back to my childhood and learn two things that I really needed to learn that I didn't learn, one would be how to grieve and the other would be respect for diversity. Because I grew up hearing from other women in my life, she'd be such a pretty girl if she would lose X number of pounds, or it's such a shame, she has such a pretty face. And, you know, those sound really innocuous, but those were from women who loved Jesus, but were so bought into this diet culture and into the world's way of valuing what we look like. So how does having a biblical approach to identity formation help with body image struggles? And what actually is identity formation? I'm probably revealing too much about myself that I have to ask that question.
So identity formation is basically like how we determine who we are and what is our value, right? Our identity is who we are. So the current cultural formation says that I'm going to decide who I'm going to be, and then I'm going to go out and I'm going to be it. So for example, This Is Me, the song from Greatest Showman, right? Or Frozen, she's letting it go. Nothing that is not of who she determines she's going to be, she's letting go. And ultimately, though, what the cultural formation of identity does is it puts us on this pendulum swing. Because what happens when we do everything that we can, but can't meet up with the standard of beauty? Because I went to such extremes to fit the mold. And I mean, I was restricting quite a bit, and I still was several sizes away from what society says I should be, right? So let me use myself as an example to explain the pendulum swing. On one side, we have this, for me, the upside was during my orthorexia phase, I'm superior because I eat clean food. I have more self-control. I'm better than, I mean, this is what I'm thinking in my head if I'm like really being honest with myself. I can remember one time checking out at the grocery store and thinking, look at me, people. Look at all the good food on this conveyor belt. I am so much better than everyone else. I mean, that's what I was thinking, and I really like reveal it. And that's embarrassing because that has nothing to do with the heart of God. Because when I lost all that weight, it changed absolutely 0% of what God thought of me and how much he loved me. So in order to, like, the diet culture really says we have to be better than, we have to be superior to other people. And that's not after the heart of Jesus. But then on the other end, we have like the times when I was struggling with the binge eating disorder, or maybe I just didn't have a quote unquote perfect day with clean eating. And so then I'm less than, then I'm scum of the earth, then I'm, you know, totally not valuable. And so it just puts us on this swing back and forth of these extremes that leave us feeling uneasy. And I don't know about you, but I get motion sickness really easy. And so that's what it does. It leaves us feeling ungrounded and unsure on, because our value is always based on, are we better or are we less than other people? But a biblical foundation of identity is found in 1 Corinthians 4:3-5. Paul goes one step further beyond what the culture says, which is, it doesn't matter what you think about me. He says, I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but this does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. So Paul is saying, it doesn't matter what you think about me. But when I stand in front of the mirror, it doesn't actually matter what I say about myself.
Wow.
That was game-changing for me, right? And because ultimately it only matters what Christ says about me. And, you know, when we are being led by what diet culture says, our value and worth for the day is what the number on the scale said. And realistically, our weight is always going to fluctuate, even if we're being the perfect dieter, right? Between the morning and the evening, our weight is never going to be the same. And so I want my identity to be built on a solid rock foundation that is not going to have me swinging all about all around. It doesn't matter if I mess up and it was all my fault and I did everything wrong. It doesn't change. And so this is foundational for being able to let go of what society says, because I still can have a bad body image day. But when that day comes, I can remind myself, it doesn't matter what they say, even if they're really judging me, but it doesn't matter what I say about myself. And then I can go back to what Paul says. And I really learned about this in Keller's book, The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. Go buy it. It will be a book that you will want to read again and again. It's short. It's like 40 minutes a read, but it was so life-changing, because I believe what this verse really tells us is really leading to a viewpoint of body neutrality. Because I don't want to be thinking all the time about my body, or I don't want to think about my body at all, because how my body feelings matter. I want to think, just like recognize, intuitive eating allows me to recognize when my body is telling me it's hungry, it needs sleep. I listen to it and then I take care of it. But then I'm not thinking abnormally about my body. Like, imagine your toe. How often through the day do you think about your toe? Well, maybe if you stub it against something, but otherwise, you know, then you pay attention. Otherwise, you're not thinking about it. And that's my goal. Like, when I walk into a room, it's not what does my body look like? No, I'm not even thinking about my body. I'm being able to be present.
Such a great concept. Now, you mentioned Tim Keller's book, and you told us that there was a concept that you learned from him that really impacted you in your healing process. So we want to hear more about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be able to share this today. So the difference for me, Timothy Keller really taught me how to tell myself the gospel every day, right? I knew about the gospel in my head, but I wasn't experiencing the power of it on a heart level. And so I wrote this script for myself one time, and when I'm struggling, I can come back to it again and again. So first, I'm going to read a short clip of what Ed and the gang might try to say to me. And then I'm going to read Jesus and what he has to say to me about it. So this is Ed and the gang. Too bad you still aren't the size you were a couple of years ago. Remember all the attention and compliments? How confident you were when you walked into the room? If you could just go back to clean eating, you could be there again and really happy and worth something. Because now, every time you walk into a room, you are less than, and everyone is disappointed and disgusted by you. So that doesn't leave me feeling very good about myself, right? That brings up uncomfortable emotions and thoughts. But Jesus has this response. Cassandra, I know it's not easy living in a world where you're constantly bombarded with messages that you are not enough, but you are unique and one of a kind. I didn't create you to fit the world's beauty standards, and only when you live in the truth that you are my daughter will you be free. When I was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I was deeply distressed because I knew what was ahead of me. I asked the Father if there'd be any other way for you to be saved and to not have to go through the cross. But the only way for you to spend eternity with me in heaven was for me to be tortured and crucified and to pay the price of your sins, including your love of the beauty idol. So I agreed to lay down my life because I love you so much. And as I was being beaten, whipped, spit on, abused, mocked, tortured, and carrying the cross to where I would die, I was thinking of you. I must do the will of the Father to save my precious daughter, because having her with me is worth all this pain and suffering. And as I suffered for hours, I thought of you. My love for you kept me on the cross, and I died and rose again so we can spend eternity together. And because of this, you are free from sin and no longer a slave to what others think of you, what you think of yourself, and conforming to this world's beauty standards.
Whoa. That's powerful.
You know, in light of that, what others think and what I think don't matter at all. That's a very powerful reframe. So we're going to shift just a little bit. You've probably noticed by seeing us here that Amy and I are women of a certain age. What suggestions do you have for women who are battling their own and cultural attitudes towards aging and body shaming?
I spend a lot of time, I spend months working with women in programs to help them work through this. So I share that because realistically, this is a process. This is a journey. This isn't just a one and done thing. It's taking several different aspects and bringing it together. And each person is unique. So it's going to look different for every person. But some of the things and approaches I take to this is really helping women to observe and recognize the idols or lies that are in their lives. Because ultimately, when we really boil it down to the very bottom of it all, we want to be beautiful, to be loved, to be worthy, to be wanted, right? And so we strive for that in order to get that void filled. And, you know, as I shared on my own story, there was so much pride about when I was closer to it. And it really was nothing short of idol worship. And so helping women to recognize that there's definitely changes that are going to come as we get older. But what are the thoughts that are going on about the aging? What are you telling yourself about the aging and about your body that is bringing these negative emotions, right? So we're really looking at the emotions, the thoughts, and then the lies that are underneath them. And what you have to be tenacious about is really learning or recognizing those and then taking practical steps to help train. And the exciting thing is that the Bible supports brain science today. And I love this brain science stuff. But basically, right, neuroplasticity says that we can rewire neurons that fire or that are together, fire together, right? And so it's really important that what we are trying to do in a very slow process is have an awareness of the lies. So you can just recognize it. And then being able to say, okay, that's a lie. And that might be the first step. But then you're going to start practicing, okay, so that's a lie. What is the actual truth of this? And this doesn't happen by telling yourself the truth two or three times. You believe this and are where you are now because you told yourself this a million different times. And so the transformation of our mind, the rewiring of our brain comes from repetition and doing it over and over and over again. So a lot of it too is learning a new script. We really only know diet culture, right? So there, I think David Foster Wallace gave this a story where there's these two fish that are swimming, young fish that are swimming along. And then this older fish swims by and he's like, hey boys, how's the water? And then the younger ones are swimming past it like, what the heck is water? Right? So diet culture is the water that we're swimming in. And so many of us have scripts that are going on in our head, but they're from diet culture. And so being able to even really learn and recognize it is an important first step to be able to then, we have to know who we're fighting against to be able to know exactly how to do battle.
So good. So helpful.
Well, so much of the battle happens in our homes. And so in this generational, how can parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles help children develop healthy relationship with food and body?
I always say you have to start with yourself. If you have a child in your life that you want to influence and you want to have freedom living in regards to food and body, you have to do the work yourself. Because if you're doing diet culture, but telling them other things, they might not be able to verbalize that difference, but they're going to experience the difference. And so we have to be able to live this truth out in our own life and believe it in order to be able to truly influence. But that's the biggest thing you can do is if you are struggling with food and body image is to do the work yourself. And I really, really strongly encouraging not dieting because adults who start dieting as an adult is different than when teens or even, 10 or younger start dieting. So there's a large study of 14 and 15 year old teens. And dieting was the most important predictor of developing an eating disorder. So those who were moderately dieting, their chances of an eating disorder increased by 5 times. But those who with extreme restriction were 18 times more likely to develop an eating disorder. And so that is one of the most detrimental things to teens is for dieting, because their bodies are growing in different ways. And when you put them on a diet, you're often putting them into semi-starvation, and that is impacting how they are growing and their thoughts.
So good. Would you have a way, a program, Cassandra, to help people with this? Tell us about what you're offering us today.
Yes. So I want to help 5 of your listeners by gifting them my complimentary Breaking Free strategy session. Now, this is 90 minutes, is typically $150 value, but I'm so passionate about helping women live free that this is a way that I can do that, is by offering to 5 of your listeners. So what they need to do is email me at info@cassandrabaker.com and let me know that they heard this interview and are interested in one of the 5 sessions, and I'd be happy to get that scheduled.
That sounds wonderful. And that's Cassandra with a K, correct? So it's CassandraBaker.com. It's info@CassandraBaker.com. Oh, so good. This is, oh my goodness. I feel like we could talk forever on this topic. So, but let's wrap it and bring it to a close. What are some final words of encouragement you have for our friends who are struggling with food and body image?
My picture of what recovery and freedom living was going to look like was different than what actual freedom living is, because at that time, my perspective and view of that was still being seen through the lens of diet culture. And freedom from Ed and the gang was worth every pound I gained, every moment of suffering, in order to be free from the crushing weight of Ed and the gang. So if you are struggling, I want to really encourage you to get help. If you have an eating disorder, find someone who specializes, is a professional, a certified eating disorder specialist, CEDS. Or maybe you don't have a full-blown eating disorder, but you want some coaching, because it can feel like jumping off a cliff without a parachute. And so that's what I can do as a coach, is come alongside people. Other people might not need that much support either. So read the books. Do the work, find the community on social media to be able to interact with other people, especially if you don't have anyone else in your current in real life that is trying to take this approach. And it's a process. It's going to take time. It doesn't happen overnight, but it is worth the journey to live in freedom.
Friends, we so appreciate you tuning in each and every week.
And we're especially grateful to certified health, life, and mental health coach Cassandra Baker for making this week's episode of Grit and Grace possible.
Check out this episode's webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode257. There you'll find this week's transcript, a link to Cassandra's website. And remember, the first 5 Grit and Grace listeners who email her at info@CassandraBaker.com, that's Cassandra with a K, will get a complimentary Breaking Free strategy session.
And be sure to join us next week. Sherry, there really wasn't supposed to be a next week.
Yeah, this was going to actually be the end of season 6. You're right.
But we're going to have a next week.
Yes, we are going to have one bonus episode next week.
So friends, don't miss next week. We have one more thing that we want to tell you in this season.
For today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on. So take it.